Okay, this is John Cahill with the Tent Makers Podcast, here with Michael Ostrander again, my buddy. We're here in Reynosa, Mexico, so you might hear like mariachi bands or loud car horns or other various city noises, and that's okay. We're here in the city of Reynosa on a ministry trip, and we just had a few moments here in the hotel to do a Tent Makers Podcast, so we thought, why not? We should do it. So, Mike, want to say hi?
Hello. It's great to be back.
Yes. Yeah, if you might remember, Mike did a episode on the Father's Heart in Business. And I think it was like episode 3 or 4, so you can go back and look at that or listen to that. Really powerful. And there's really no agenda for what we're going to talk about tonight. We're just going to see what the Lord stirs. We've really probably been having too much fun, just laughing and cutting up all week. I've seen amazing miracles, seen God pour out powerful ways here in Reynosa. Got to visit the tent cities today, and we're doing a Tent Makers Podcast, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And we're just going to see what the Lord does. But for those who forgot, Mike is a director at a Christian retreat center in Kentucky called Clef Rock Retreat Center. And I'll let him explain a little bit more of that if he feels led to. And he also owns and operates two cell phone repair stores, and he's got plenty of experience and wisdom on how to run and operate business ventures like that from the ground up, but also has a heart for missions, and his businesses in Kentucky support him and his family as they are sent out by the Lord to the nations for revival. So, Mike, why don't you catch us up to speed, kind of tell us what's going on in your guys' life and what it looks like being a revivalist and a business owner.
Well, yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me. Yeah, just to reiterate, I guess, what we do with Clef Rock and the businesses. Like John Paul said, Clef Rock is a retreat center for missionaries and pastors. Really just for the church. Anybody's welcome, of course. But who are just on the front line serving the Lord and just need a chance to get away and to rest, be restored, to encounter God, whatever that looks like for you, for that individual. But the whole point is to get you back out to what God has called you to. So we kind of look at it like a medic tent, you know, where you're on the front lines and you're serving the Lord, and you know, there's just moments where you just need to get off the field for a minute to just get refreshed, restored, counseling, whatever it is, and then back out to what God's called you to. So that's what we do at Clef Rock. And then as far as the cell phone businesses, the cell phone stores, repair stores, we basically just service laptops, computers, phones, tablets, all that kind of stuff, and started about 11 years ago, or no, excuse me, 10 years ago, and in one little town in central Kentucky, not a huge metropolis by any means. It's like, I think the town is maybe around 10,000 people, something like that. Something like that anyway. The whole county might be just 20,000. So it's not big. And we started that store about 10 years ago, and the Lord has been good, and we've been in a pattern of just waiting on the Lord and just sowing into our own family and these businesses. And you know, all along we knew we were called to the nations. Mm-hmm. So we were just sowing into our families, sowing into our community, our church, and you know, we're at the place now that the business is we have a second store, and they're being run efficiently and allowing us to be able to actually go into the nations again. So yeah. It's pretty exciting.
That's pretty cool. And I've kind of walked with you and been a friend and an ally as you've sort of developed the cell phone stores and I remember when you guys were called to Clef Rock, and it's been really exciting. And I think I know the answer, but I kind of want to hear from you. Did you always, I know you've always had a desire in your heart to see God's kingdom come.
Yeah.
But when you got into the cell phone business, mm-hmm. did you always see that as a tool to help fund you and your family do what you're doing today? Was that the intention in doing the cell phone businesses?
Yeah.
Or was that something that developed in the process?
I think both, really. I mean, you know, with most things, you kind of have a launching point, and then as you walk it out, it develops, and you realize, okay, the Lord was doing more than I actually thought.
Right.
So yeah, it was a source of provision. The whole thing started as a source of provision. We were quite broke and we just had twin babies, and so
yeah.
Pretty broke. And, yeah. and we caught a break with a friend who I mentioned in the last podcast that just brought us in as a father figure and in the business sense, and just really blessed us in that way. And so
yeah.
it was the catalyst for us to start the business. He was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it really did start out as a place of just a source of provision for us.
Yeah.
But then as time goes, you realize, okay, there's something more to this than that. And so we, of course, want to bless our community, right? And so it's a service-oriented business.
Yeah.
And so that kind of just kind of leads you in, like when you're serving people,
right.
It's just a different yeah. environment, a different interaction with people and hearts
yeah.
and stuff. So anyway, I guess to answer your question, it developed into
yeah.
more of the opportunity to be a place to allow us to
sure.
go to the nations, I guess.
But so I see how that could be. Like you probably had an idea of what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever dream then that it would be like this now?
No. No, yeah, I did not.
Has God surpassed your expectation?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, when we first started, like I said, it was just a way to make money. And, you know, I'll say this, I had friends who there's a lot of suffering, honestly, in running a business when you're pioneering it and you're running it on your own,
yeah.
like, and you're broke and you're just right. trying to make it happen.
Right.
And, you know, you're maybe making a little bit of money or not at all, and you're just paying
yeah.
your bills. And,
mm-hmm.
and so in those moments, I had friends be like, "Do you even love fixing phones?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and what they were trying to get at is, you know, maybe you should do something you love, and then, you know, you'll be blessed, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
And I agree to that, with that in some ways.
Yeah.
But I knew
yeah.
at that point,
yeah.
my answer to them was, no, I don't love fixing phones. I don't really even love technology.
Wow.
But what it is for me is a source of provision, one.
Uh-huh.
And two, well, really, that was, like, okay with me, is just that it was just a source of provision.
Come on.
That's all, yeah. like, I didn't have any pressure that I was trying to make an impact or do anything like that. It was really just simply a source of provision for me. And I love people, and I love business. I enjoyed the pioneering of it. I enjoyed the starting of it. And so, you know, I didn't imagine it being what it would be. I didn't imagine that I would even, I guess leading a business like that, you know?
Yeah.
With a lot of employees and stuff. Yeah.
So in the hard times, like the crucible times, the desire in your heart from God that kept you going was not fixing phones. So
no,
it wasn't like
the work.
Yeah, it's like I can't wait to wake up and go slap a screen on an iPhone 6.
No, it was not that at all.
And that's kind of freeing because there's people who have desire for business, but they're not maybe passionate one way or another, and they're maybe like missing opportunity because they're not excited about mopping floors, so they can't start a floor cleaning business.
Right, yeah.
Or they think they need to, you know, they need to wait for the perfect scenario where they're doing exactly what they want. And that's kind of a fallacy, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I mean, like, pressure kills everything it touches, right? So when you're like dreaming up or trying to figure out what you could do as a business, like to launch a business, and those things you described, to me, those just are pressure. They just put the pressure, like an unhealthy pressure that just keeps you from, it almost paralyzes you. You know?
Right, yeah. Wow, that's profound. Yeah, because there's got to be a desire that keeps you going in the hard times, right? Because I've walked with you for a while, and I've seen you go through these intense seasons with grace and with power. But I also know that you were only able to do that because you had a clear vision from the Lord for something greater than where you were, and it involved you growing your businesses.
That's it.
And to hear you say, it's not about this, you know, like I didn't like go to sleep at night like, oh, I can't wait to wake up and repair a Galaxy phone. Or it's kind of freeing. It's like it gives permission to people to take risk and not really make it about what they're doing, but instead the desire and the vision they're called to.
Yeah, and I'll even say, so I didn't have that wake up in the morning, I can't wait to go fix phones. I didn't have that. But I also didn't have, I can't wait till one day I make it to that place that I hope to make it to either.
Right.
Like, I didn't have that pressure either.
Yeah.
Because in part, I don't know if I knew that
that's
what this was going to become.
Yeah.
The only, like, so the vision from the Lord, if you will, for me, very, very, like, just in front of me, it was just build a business.
Yeah.
Right? Just develop a business. I knew it had potential. I knew that, I mean, cell phones, you know, it had the potential of being successful even in a small town.
Yeah.
Even with competition and other things coming in, I knew it was still successful.
Yeah.
Or had the potential of being successful. So
my
immediate vision was just build a business.
Yeah.
You know, get it sustainable and working and functioning.
It's so simple, but so many people get caught up because they think like, well, that's not the right business, or that's not something I'm totally excited about. But it doesn't need to be like that. You can just start a business.
You could just start a business.
And one of the things I kind of wanted to ask you, and so like obviously you have greater vision for your business than where it is right now. Like your businesses are successful. Mm-hmm. They're funding you. They're creating space for you and your family to do missions and partner with the Holy Spirit. But you have greater vision for your businesses even still, and greater vision for ministry even still, and doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
So how does that complement? Like that's a lot to juggle.
Mm-hmm.
How do your businesses complement what you're doing now on the mission field?
Mm-hmm.
And do they complement each other? Do they serve one another? Or does it feel like a tension where you have to choose one or the other and you're not really able to take care of both fully?
Yeah, no, that's good. So We're our family is currently in a bit of a transition. Right. So we're actually starting to step into the going again, right? And our business is now in a place that allows us to do that. So we're actually entering into new waters, which is exciting. Yeah. Which is also opening up more vision, new vision for us. And, you know, so for us right now, yeah, like, so yeah, it does provide for our family. So it makes it, we're so thankful, right? Because it does allow us to say, okay, yes, Lord, you know, we can follow him to the places he's calling us to. Without that burden of where the money comes from, because it's coming from him right now. Yeah. We're totally aware that the way God is providing for us is through this business. Right. It could come in any other way at any other time. I mean, he may decide to provide for our family in the future through whatever. You know what I'm saying? I may have to get a job. I may sell the business. You know, there could be all kinds of different ways that he provides. So right now, that is a source of provision for us. But so regarding like our call for like our desire and our call for revival and going to the nations, yeah, what I would love to do, I think my business is, because they're stores in communities, they're retail stores and their service centers, would be a place to provide employment. Uh-huh. And not only that, but we want to have our stores strategically in locations that would almost be like ecclesias, right? So like imagine, I mean, it's a cell phone repair shop, but it's an it's a station of ecclesia, which is we're saying, Jesus, you reign, you rule over this community. So we're a praying center in a way, you know.
And for people who don't understand that word, ecclesia.
Yeah, church, right? So church. Ecclesia back in, I think when it's used, when Jesus uses it, so when Rome was dominating and controlling the territory, they had ecclesias, which were basically governing entity, like governing bodies that had the authority to try cases
from Rome
and to represent Rome,
newly conquered territories.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they were representing Rome's authority and their governance. Yeah. And so Jesus was telling Peter, go establish
ecclesia.
I'm going to establish the ecclesia through, right on this rock. I'm going to build my ecclesia.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm going to establish my authority.
Yeah. My kingdom.
My kingdom. You're going to, we want to send out representation of me reigning in. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
So my stores, whether or not we even do a lick of ministry, which we do in the stores, we are open to praying for people and we see miracles all the time, but, they're ecclesias because they just are, and they're
ecclesias because they represent the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Yep,
that's incredible.
So that's kind of it. Yeah.
So part of the vision for missions in your family's life and building your businesses is for your business to represent God's kingdom on earth. That's revolutionary. That's amazing, and I really think that not only does it represent God's kingdom on earth in just like a practical sense of being a place of service and a place of provision for people in your community and a place of safety and security for employees and so on and so forth, it's also kind of a training ground, not only for you, right? Because I know you could say very easily that you learn to hear Holy Spirit's voice in the building of your business, and that carries over to the mission field. And you learned how to have faith in God and how to follow Him where He's leading you and how to risk for the sake of His kingdom.
Yeah.
But also, so are your employees within the confines of the employer employee relationship. Like they're learning treasure from heaven by being employed by you, like whether it's committing or learning how to serve others or whatever it is,
yeah.
You're discipling employees, and whether they go out into like a physical mission field,
right.
they're learning kingdom values by being employed by you.
Yeah. Generosity, kindness, yeah, like hospitality, all of that stuff is kingdom, and they're in it all the time, you know. And when we first started, I had mostly Christians working for me, which was fun and great, and I think was the Lord, you know. Now I don't. I have a mix, you know, and they, well, even if you are a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. They're experiencing, hopefully, I'm leading in a way that
demonstrates Christ.
It. They're experiencing. They're seeing how I'm interacting with customers. They're seeing how I interact with them when they make mistakes or if they do something, you know, the generosity, the kindness, the patience, all of that stuff, hopefully, you know, on my good days.
Absolutely. Yeah, for real. All of us, right? So then let me ask you this. Are you overtly communicating to your employees that this is a discipleship center as much as it is a business? Are they aware of that, or is it something that's, I mean, they might hear this podcast, so they may be if they're not.
Yeah.
Or is that just like something that is more subtle and really just a fruit of your life that is demonstrating Christ through you, but not maybe something you're saying specifically to them?
Yeah. It depends on the dynamic with the individual.
Right.
It does get a little bit weird dicey sometimes, you know. Yeah. Early days, yeah, when I said it was Christians, I could share my vision and and this is what we're doing, and hey, feel free to pray for people, right? Yeah. Like, and that's always still fine for people I know, like that work for me that I know are able to hear the Lord and pray for people. But for the ones that aren't, it's a little bit trickier. They know where I stand. They know who I am. They know that I go and do missions. They know my life. My lifestyle, like who I am. They know that I love Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think in most cases that's impactful to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I trust that it is.
I think the way you live gives as much or more room to the Holy Spirit as the way you speak does.
Yeah, unspoken sermons every day, you know, just by going to work.
Yeah, and if they ever get curious or want to ask what's up, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, we have those conversations. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and that whole concept though of creating a ecclesia or a space in your community for all those things, discipleship included, is really kind of incredible, wow. So what does that look like on a day to day bit? Like, what are some practical examples and like, are there testimonies that you can share of maybe a saved employee and maybe a non believing employee working together, but both encountering God's grace in the workplace, or is there any?
Yeah, I mean, there's times. I'm trying to think of something specific to that specific question, where I had unbelieving employees, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray for a customer, for example, and. My employees are right there witnessing this, and in some cases you're seeing physically the kingdom breaking in because a life is being touched. Either they're crying when we pray or they're actually physically getting healed, and so these employees are seeing that, right? And they're like, what in the world, you know? And I'm trying to think of a specific example of I know that's happened, but I can't recall one off the top of my head.
Is it like when it does happen, is it just awkward silence with your employees for the rest of the day, or are they asking questions? What is their response?
It's a mix depending on the individual.
Yeah.
We do outreaches and stuff in our community. where we live and stuff. And so I always go back and tell them what I was like, hey, how was your weekend? And they tell me their weekend.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Mike? And I'll tell them about, you know, going to the jail and praying for people and what happened, you know. And
yeah.
And yeah, it's often just like, oh, cool, neat, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that it's.
So you don't put pressure on them.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
And do you think that's probably pretty healthy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're not trying to force them to believe how you believe or.
Right.
Yeah. No, it really did happen. They
I
really,
promise it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They really got healed. Like, none of that. Like, no. Yeah.
Yeah. I just tell them and that's it. Yep. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. It, it's sometimes it's kind of hard. Like it gets mixed up in the church. We think like we should treat believers better than unbelievers. And that's not actually the scripture at all.
No.
And we really need to remind ourselves that we need to extend the same grace to our peers who are unbelievers as we do to our peers who are believers.
Yeah.
Because if we're putting pressure on people, they're not going to feel safe. They're not going to feel willing to receive the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody in your business is gonna come to know Jesus,
right?
And that's okay, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's not as it's more common that it doesn't happen, right?
Right. And there's not like this quota that you need to fill,
right?
Or pressure you need to fill, and you don't have to treat anybody like they don't belong or something like that.
Yeah, like pressure, like I said earlier, pressure really does kill anything it touches. So
yeah,
I try to stay away from pressure situation, like casting pressure.
Yeah, putting people in pressure situations, absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes that's good, but not what we're talking about, yeah.
Not in dealing with people's faith.
Right, yeah exactly.
Yeah, you can crush them.
I will say, I just thought of something. So one of my employees, obviously knows my life, knows who I am as a believer in my faith, and, you know, going through some hard stuff. Many times she'll send a text or even at the stores, say, hey, will you pray for me? Because
yeah.
I'm going through this or that. Or, hey, my grandfather is sick. Can you pray for him? Like, so in these moments where she knows that she needs help from something greater.
Yeah.
And she has a bit of a background of understanding Christ and stuff. But so that's cool to me that, mm-hmm. that she reaches out to her boss, like who reaches out to their boss to for prayer, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Usually when you're not at work, you're avoiding work.
You're not
altogether.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to your boss.
Right. So that's cool.
Yeah. And really it's kind of just creating a safe place for people to grow.
Yeah.
Because really we don't control how God touches people or reveals himself to people.
Exactly.
And the more we try to control the outcome, the more we usually push people away from God.
Yeah.
And that it's a real concept of just being not casual or complacent, mm-hmm. but just being comfortable in your faith around other people.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to scheme and find strategy and sort of manipulate people into what you believe.
Right.
Because, I mean, I've been guilty of that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it might work for like a moment. They'll fake it with you because they want your approval.
But
long term, everybody's disappointed.
Yeah.
Nobody gets anything out of that. And you really see better fruit by just allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you.
Mm.
The way he works through you, and loving people, and that anointing,
exactly,
and people respond to that because it's authentic, and really that was one of the things about Jesus that was so attractive, was authenticity, right?
Yeah, yeah. What I was thinking of, like in the other podcast that we had that discussion, it was a lot about fathering and like I know that. That's something that I am.
Right.
I am a dad. I have children. But also, I know that the Lord is sending me people to father,
mm-hmm.
different ages. It doesn't matter. And I'm only 42, you know, and I could father a 67-year-old person, you know. Like, I can father people. It doesn't matter age. It's about how you handle hearts and how you deal with people. Yeah. And so I know that that is something that's on me. And so for me, that looks a lot different than maybe somebody else. But so I am aware that the people that God sends me, either as employees, I mean, we're talking mostly employees, that they're being fathered by God through me somehow. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's wonderful. And a father doesn't manipulate.
Right.
A father doesn't need to prove himself to his children.
Yeah.
He just loves them.
Just loves them.
Stewards their hearts.
Right? Yep.
And sometimes love is tough, right? Mm-hmm. Tough conversations correction. But at the end of the day, a father's not looking to get things out of their children.
Right.
Just to pour in.
Yeah. Which is a dynamic that in the business world is interesting because most employers are trying to get as much out of somebody as they can,
out of their employees as they can.
To make money, right. And that's not the case for me, right? And hopefully they're hearing that, seeing that, experiencing that.
Yeah, and I would probably be safe to say that, like, making money is a goal of your businesses.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's not the highest goal.
It is not. It is not.
And it's worth noticing because, you guys aren't there to, like, hold hands and pray all day, right?
Right.
You're there to make money and build a business.
Right.
But making money is not the highest priority.
Yeah.
And it's just actually a fruit of ecclesia happening in the form of business.
Yeah.
So instead of money being the priority is God's heart being revealed.
That's good.
And then making money is just the result of that.
It really is. And, you know, I don't even know if I ever realized it until right now, even as we're talking. Wow. But, like, I have zero anxiety. Yeah. Zero anxiety about making money.
Yeah.
I don't have any, like, concerns about my business making money.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? I never even really thought about it. It's just, I just trust the
That's
Lord, I guess.
A motivator and a stress for a lot of good people.
Yeah.
And just Jesus' name, I pray for an impartation of that. That if you've made making money the priority, not to shame or guilt or condemn, but that you would just have a revelation of God's love. So that you can make his heart the priority and then let making money be a fruit of that.
Yeah.
Because again, making money isn't bad. It's not
evil. No, absolutely
money in
not.
Itself is not evil, right?
Right.
The scripture doesn't say that money is the root of all the evil. It says that the love of money is the root of all types of evil.
All types of evil.
So making money is a good thing.
Yep.
If your heart is connected to the Father's heart, right?
Yeah.
If he's the priority, then making money can be a fruit.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people need to hear that too.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is not afraid of money.
Right.
He's not afraid of you having money if your heart is being molded by his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But if making money is the priority, you're going to be crushed every time. It's going to devour
you. It'll consume you. You'll be so driven by that and swallowed up by it'll just destroy you.
Yeah, and how do you
in
think...
In one way or another, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you think that speaks to your employees? I mean, I'm sure you don't go around saying, oh, I don't care about money. Like, but do you think that first impacts the way that you manage your employees?
Yeah.
And if so, do you think that speaks to their heart?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how that translates to them, but I can say that, you know, I do encourage them and show them how to, like, sell product and things like that. But we were talking about this earlier. So I make it very clear, no matter who they are, in orientation, that we will never manipulate anybody to doing anything. So how does that work with sales, right? That's like manipulation is such a part of sales in the business world. Like, why do you think the milk is in the back of the grocery store?
Right.
That's actually, to me, that's a type of manipulation, right? Because they're making you walk through the store hoping that you'll pick up a few other items on your way to the milk that you just came for.
Yes.
I mean, that's whatever. You know, you can call that whatever. You may have, people may not agree with me on that, but I err on the side of don't manipulate anybody. But we tell them what we do. We tell them the products we have and why we believe that they are good, and we allow people to make their own choices. So that's how I...
So here's a product. This is what it provides. This is the cost. You make the choice whether you want it or not. Yeah. We're not trying to create a narrative in your head to make you think or perceive that you want this.
Yep, I don't do that. I don't say, hey, you know, look what happened to this last time. You've dropped your phone and it cracked. Don't let that happen again and buy this because, you know, you don't. I don't do that. I just say, this does really good job of protecting your phone. You know, it really does. I have it on mine and I drop mine all the time. It actually is a very good product.
Yeah.
Would you like it?
Yeah.
You know,
and, you know, and part of that is like you have to make the choice not to sell bad product.
Yes. Yeah. I only get high quality stuff.
Right. And you pay a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
But you still make plenty of money to run your businesses.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes people think like, if I'm not cutting edge in my sales tactics, or I'm not like finding the sweet spot in sales or saying the right things, I'm not gonna make it. That's just not true, is it?
Right. Exactly. When I go to sales trainings, if I, you know, I don't go to many, but I have to filter most of it out.
Yeah.
You know, okay, I can see what you're saying there, but I take most of, I'm like, I don't even need to go to these things because they're just full of manipulation.
And honestly, that is probably more attractive to consumers than any sort of sales technique.
Yeah.
And you maybe don't get, and this is all assumption, I don't know your numbers, or and we don't have the stats, but you probably don't get as many like immediate impulse buys, but you probably have a lot more return customers because they feel safe.
Yeah, it's a long game. Yeah, exactly. They come back to me because they trust me.
They trust you. They feel safe. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to being more ecclesia than business.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how else does your business represent God's kingdom? Talk about employees and sales and you said generosity. Is there any more insight you can shed in that regard?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm generous. I try to reward or award or pay when the store does well. I pass that on to my employees.
Yeah.
So that's like a practical generosity way. I mean, even when you know, running a business, stuff happens. Employees break things, stuff like that. I'm generous with my, like, I'm patient with them in that way. Customers the same way. You know, I just treat people fairly, not trying to, like, you know, scrape everything I can out of somebody. I'm just fair and generous that way. I think just, you know, when the Bible says, even a cup of extending a glass of cold water, or a glass of water to somebody is extending the kingdom.
Right.
So I believe that just by people walking in my door and I greet them with a smile, they're going to encounter.
Yes.
And that's not manipulation. That's not me trying to make them like me or like our business. It's I just genuinely am happy you're here. And how can I help you? You know, like I'm glad there's like, I'm not kidding you. I genuinely am grateful for everybody that comes to my store.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, they could have gone anywhere, but they're here.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that. And I hope they experience that and feel that. But
yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you go to Chick-fil-A and they say, my pleasure.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, you're told to say that. So is it actually your pleasure? No, it's not. You're just told to say that. But what you're saying is like, it actually is your pleasure to serve this person who chose to exchange goods with you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's moments where, you know, there's physical healings and things like that. We pray for people and at the store when the Spirit leads us to, or leads me to more than anybody. But so that's another way too, you know.
So
did I answer your question?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea, but it sounded good.
We'll go back and listen and make sure.
Yeah, we'll let the audience decide. Man, that's really good. It actually, I think, gave a lot of insight on how to be the ecclesia in your business. Mm-hmm. And you know, I hear this with a lot of people too. You really can't separate your life from your business. So like, you live, eat, breathe your business.
Yeah.
But you also really can't separate your business from your ministry.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people probably can, I would say.
It doesn't look good.
That would be fear of man, well, probably.
Yeah. It doesn't work well.
Right, it doesn't.
Yeah. You have to, at some point, you have to make a choice to sacrifice one for the other. Mm-hmm. So you really can't do it. And in the same regard, you can't separate, like, as a pastor, I can't separate my life from my ministry as much as, you know, like, I take Sabbaths and stuff. Like, it just doesn't work like that. You can't do that. And it's the same with business. It's the same with business and ministry together. You just can't do that. Like, you can't go to the mission field and just forget about your business.
Right.
And vice versa. Right. So it just, I think that's a good to hear somebody say that, because there's people out there who are trying to make it all work, spin all the plates at once, and they feel like maybe they're not doing a good job because things are crossing over and getting a little bit messy. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that it gets messy. It's okay that you can't keep it separated, and it's better to find ways to integrate it and allow the Lord to lead you and reign in your business as much as He does in your church and your family and all the other things you do for Him.
Yeah. And I'll say that anything, I mean, most things that you're doing in life, there's a process.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to be okay with the process. And that process for me has taken almost 11 years. Yeah. Right. Yes. So just be careful, I guess, of wanting things to be expedited to the point where you may have vision and you want it to be where you see it. And I think it will, like, that's from the Lord. Right. Yes. But it's going to take time. So there's a process.
Yeah.
And for me, I like, just on a business sense, I didn't take out any big loans or any, I basically paid cash for everything. I built
bootstrapped it.
Uh-huh. Yep. I totally just built it and snowballed it into what it is now. Which is not necessarily a model that everybody has to follow or anything. I'm just saying, for me, that was the process.
And process teaches you value for what God has called you to.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for the process.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talked about this yesterday, that King David was anointed king on the spot in his dad's house. No questions about it. But still had to walk through a really long process that he wouldn't have chosen for himself, that God chose for him, right? Yep. Until he saw the fulfillment of his call.
Yep. And then all that was preparation and so much more, you know, that we don't even know.
Yeah, and I think from my standpoint, okay. as a pastor, as like a full-time pastor in a church, that... I'm not against seminaries and I'm not against like schools, and I teach at schools. I think schools are important and needed, but there are things that you will learn in the process that no man on earth can ever teach you. And you know, you bringing mentors into your life is important and good, and teachers are good, but there's an aspect of getting your hands dirty with the Lord and just saying, I'm doing this. I'm going to keep going. I'm not quitting, even though it's hard. And the Lord said, this is my life, so I'm going to make this my life. That teaches you in a way that nothing else can teach you.
Yeah. And that's probably, I would say, is the most avoided thing, right? People want the quick fix. They don't want the process.
They don't want the process.
They don't want to put the hard work in. Yeah. Oh, man, this is getting pretty hard. And I think I will just speak even to this culture, like what, like the dynamics of what we live in, the times that we live in. Hard work is not something that is, what is the word I'm looking for?
Valued.
Valued and even done, like a lot, you know, as far, you know what I mean?
Well, and we've sort of, and we've kind of veered into a different topic, which is great, but, no, this is really good. We've created a culture that only sees the finished product, right? You go on, you don't go on social media and see like the guy bagging groceries. You just see him owning the grocery store. You didn't see the guy detailing the cars, like actually scrubbing the car inside and the outside. You only see him sitting behind the desk at the car detailing shop. You don't actually see the rags in the rags to riches story. And it jades people, and they think, well, I just need to do that, and it'll all work out. And that's not actually the case. And a lot of times you'll do things and fail, and that's God's grace because it's part of the process, preparing you for the next step. You just need to learn how to tighten your belt and do stuff and get dirty and work and grind.
That's it.
And again, grinding and striving are two different things. So if you're hearing this, like, I don't want to be striving. I'm not asking you to strive. I'm asking you to work hard. Hard work is enough. Striving is different. Yeah. And if you don't understand that, you need to wrestle with the Lord in your identity. But we've built a culture where we only see the end product, and that's really kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, grinding it out would be like when it's hard, right? When you're getting pressed, not quitting. Grinding it out means okay, I think I know what I'm called to, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it right now. Oh wait, it's getting very hard right now though. So it's not quitting in that moment. It's grinding it out and pushing and pushing and pushing toward whatever it is that you're pushing.
Man, and those stories, like your story, like in some respects my story in ministry. That's what stirs my heart, because the gospel is a story. It's a story of a man who gave everything for our benefit. And that's what business ownership is. Like, it's not just really for you, because if it was for you, you'd be on a beach somewhere letting your cell phone shops pay you to drink whatever tropical drink you like on a beach. Right? That's what you'd be doing. But it's not about you. It's about the community you're in, the people you serve, and the people you employ. And that story of you grinding it out, it actually stirs something. And some kid or some six-year-old listening to this right now thinking, I can do it because this guy did it. I can do it.
Yeah,
and it's the same way the gospel works. It tells a story that inspires our heart. But people forget, like, that story is applicable to you, but yes, the grinding part too, not just the success.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Mike, thank you so much. I think this was really powerful. Man, if you're listening to this and you're struggling with that, like, I want to do ministry, I want to be in business, I think you got some clarification that your business can be an ecclesia on earth. And just put your boots on and get to work and
tighten up your bootstraps. Yeah.
And if you failed, like if you've tried this, you've tried the business and you failed, try again. Mm-hmm. Be that little engine that went up the mountain.
Yeah.
Just keep working. Keep fighting. Is there any like parting words you want to give us before you pray us out?
No, I think even just quickly in my mind, going through what we just talked about, I think one thing that stands out to me that we didn't plan, you know, it just kind of came out, was the thing that I just discovered was I have zero anxiety about making money.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which I just never like knew that I didn't. You know, does that make so? Mm-hmm. I hope that that's encouraging for people.
Yes.
Because it's possible.
Yeah.
You can make a ton of money, and that's wonderful and great.
Yeah.
But there's, I guess, you know, something to not making it your
idol,
or your motivator 100%. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, you want to make money. It's a business, but
yeah,
I don't know. That was interesting for me personally.
Yeah, that's important, and I wanted to say this. So money's not the priority, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Father's heart, Jesus is the priority.
Mm-hmm.
Money is a fruit in some cases, not all cases,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I don't want
to. But people, again, they create this concept that money is evil. Well, it's not when it feeds starving people, and it's mm-hmm. not when it builds mission centers, and you know, it's actually a benefit
yeah.
to building the kingdom when it's in the hands of the righteous.
Yeah.
So, but again, you can't actually steward money until you lose your fear of not having it, and you don't lose your fear of not having it until you see the one who is much more worthy than any yeah. amount of money on this earth.
Yeah. And you trust that he is absolutely 100%
Amen.
The provider.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where it comes from.
That's so true. Okay. I think this was a good hour. This felt like a good hour. You feel good?
Yeah, great.
Okay, will you pray for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, I don't know how.